Hello, is this NASA?
Yes.
Good. Listen, I'm sick of your boring space launches. Now, I'm just an ordinary blue-collar slob, but I know what I like's on TV.
How did you get this number?
Shut up! And another thing, how come I can't get no Tang around here? And also...
Hold on a second.
People, our long search is over.
Hello, is this President Clinton? Good. I figured if anyone knew where to get some Tang, it'd be you. Shut up!
Excuse me.
Ah!
Are you the person that called NASA yesterday?
No! It wasn't me, I swear! It was him!
Sir, how would you like to get higher than you've ever been in your life?
Be an astronaut? Sure!
Well, welcome aboard.
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Terry, I am very, very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it. What's been going on?
Not much. When we were last talking, I guess we had a heated debate to start off about Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah,
have you been watching the two episodes since?
Now, I thought of you when I watched, spoiler alert by the way,
huge big titty spoilers for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I thought of you with the last minute of the last episode, to be honest.
Right.
When she was just, when she gets up and there's just a white horse just there. Now, I get it, there was horses in the battle and stuff like that, but even for me, I was like, what's that horse doing there?
That was the, I liked that part of the episode, to be honest. Like,
I can't win with you.
I actually quite liked the last episode.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
No, not great. Not terrible. Better than the battle. No. Look, I don't like what they've done with a lot of the characters' motivations and decision makings. In that, it's like, it's like they've only realized they've got two episodes left. They're like, oh god, she's crazy. Yeah, she's gonna burn down. No, I mean, just keep writing. Yeah,
I know what you mean.
It's for me. Like, I much preferred how it was shot, how it was produced.
Yeah,
like, it looked better, but at the same time, I was like, oh, okay. This is what, like, and the amount of outcry on Twitter. This woman who's like, oh, the savior to all the downtrodden for the last 7 years.
But her father was the Mad King.
Oh, right, is that it? That's what it is.
From Zalter.
Grant, no worries, yeah.
Her father was the Mad King. She's turning mad herself.
Oh, yeah, right. any evidence to back that up beforehand?
What?
Half an episode, maybe, like.
The last few episodes. Now, certainly since the start of the season, it wasn't really a thing beforehand. But this season,
but
they've been bleeding.
Not really, like, not really crazy, like, you know.
Well, but we've been discussing it at home since episode one of this season. So
right, and what do you think? It's like,
I felt like it was inevitable.
But like that?
No, I mean, like, she completely overreacted.
Like, you would, I could see why she did it to the bald guy at the start.
Yeah,
like, fair enough. And then it's just like all these thousands of innocent people, like, that, you know, that she has been, that's her whole gig, her shtick.
It's like she's not like the rest
of
them. Yeah,
it's like, oh, turns out I am. Like politicians, huh? Typical politicians.
I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it, but
I didn't thoroughly enjoy it.
See, here's my problem. I recently bought a new TV.
Oh, 4K?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
A 50-inch sharp TV. It was on sale in Tesco's for like $3.99. So I was like, okay, well, I'll get that.
Sharp still do TVs, yeah?
They do.
Yeah.
It's shit, though. I'll admit that to you right now.
No, see, you gotta do your homework.
I didn't. I just figured TVs are all good these days. I'll just get this. Now, to be fair, it is good. But it has that annoying motion enhancement.
You can turn it off.
I did turn it off and it still fucking has it.
Ah.
It's not as bad. I had to go into the settings. I had to review Tom Cruise on Twitter talking about it.
What?
Tom Cruise and the director of whatever movie he's in put out this thing. Yeah, yeah, whatever. And
let me ask you, did the director have like a grey beard and yeah, black rimmed glasses?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Christopher Macquarie, mate.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Call him by
Christopher Macquarie.
He wrote The Usual Suspects. Yeah, but
be that as it may, they basically said, yeah, you want to go in and turn it off. So I was like, great, I'll turn that off. But like, it's still, apparently it's a big thing of like, the movie makers are trying to get it stopped because it's just coming as like a this guy can fuck right off, by the way, calling me at this time. Absolutely.
Why don't you
not
answer it on air?
Mug.
the guy that sold you the TV, is it?
What?
The guy that sold you the TV.
I have a great stereo for you, Andy.
I said no.
How do you like mono? but yeah, so it has that effect on it, and that kind of takes it away. Apparently movie makers are trying to get it stopped because it's like these TV companies have just decided that like this is how people should watch movies.
The amount of people that don't realise, like my parents are like, I'm like, why is your TV moving like that?
Yeah, it's like you're watching a video game. Like.
Yeah, and they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I turn it off and they're like, oh right, yeah, I didn't really notice any difference.
I can't believe when people don't notice that. My dad's the same. He had on his TV, like, and I'm like, would you know? I was like, do you enjoy it? It's like, what? Like what? I'm like, how am I the only one seeing this?
It kind of felt like that time you were on mushrooms and we were watching The Naked Gun, and I was like, why is everything moving? So?
I know it is like that. Yeah. Even like the dragon in Game of Thrones, where it's like burning shit down. Like even the way stuff's crumbling, like. Or like when Cersei is like, you know, underground and stuff's falling and all that. It just looked mad like, oh, well, that's computer. Yeah. That's computer generated. That's
why did you think of that end for Jamie?
It's a bit...
Like, I was like, is that it?
Like, why? Like,
well, it was, I guess people, a lot of people are saying her, like, it's so, she's an addiction.
Yeah.
But like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... like I said, the show has lost me. I'd be interested to see how much hatred
be interesting
there is.
To you're licking your lips at the hatred that's coming from
I'm
this
actually
final
more
episode.
Interested in like seeing people's reaction to the show now rather than the show itself. Like,
yeah.
So I woke up Monday morning and was like, I don't know why, I never actually go on Twitter first thing in the morning. It was like, I must have just pressed my accent. It was like all these tweets like, this show, I can't believe it, and I'm like, they've ruined it, blah blah blah. Like,
I mean, I kind of just enjoy it for what it is. I'm not a purist, I haven't read the books. No. You know, I just enjoy shit going down on TV, and you know, I like good story writing, obviously, and good writing, but
put the two together and boy howdy.
If I hadn't listened to anyone or, you know, talked about it with you or anything like that, and someone asked me, what do you think of the latest season or two? I think, yeah, it's great. You know what I mean? Like, it's only that is people are putting it in my head that the story's not
when
as good.
When they point out the flaws.
Not as much, basically, because I like to go in oblivious. It's a distinct lack of sex since, like, the first two or three
lack
seasons.
Of cocks, is that what you're saying?
Well, yes, I mean, all of it.
I remember that was what, like, it was like, oh my god, like, cocks everywhere.
Yeah.
In the first few seasons.
And now nothing. But anyway.
Yeah. Something more delightful I watched recently. Brought my nephew to see Detective Pikachu.
Is it good?
I enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah?
Were you a Pokemon guy?
I was not, no.
Oh. Oh well, we have nothing to talk about there.
Again, you want the other account. Frankly, I don't know why we're
if you're listening, please.
is it like an animation or is it?
It's like, first of all, the animation is amazing, but it's like half human, half animation.
Type oh
thing,
right,
like,
chipmunk style.
Yes, the chip like the chipmunks.
If that helps.
Roger Rabbit, I think, would be closer to, but yeah. Like. But Ryan Reynolds does the voice of Pikachu.
I heard he's very good.
Yeah, he's very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite enjoyable.
I mean, I'd like to say I'll watch it, but I
you know, unless Joni gets into Pokemon, like, you know.
Speaking of movies.
Killer segue, man.
Seamless. Yeah. They're changing the...
Sonic?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was an abomination.
It was, but I think it's a big mistake. Changing it.
Why? Giving into
bowing down to the fucking
pressure.
Riffraff. I think.
Whoa, the riffraff.
I mean, I just think it's kind of going to be like.
They're never going to be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you've already lost.
I agree with you there.
You know what I mean?
Just do it right the first time.
Yeah, because then it's like, oh, so you don't like that story. Well, what about this? We could change the ending.
No, I think he looked.
I think the movie's doomed now.
Yeah, I think it was doomed anyway. What's the story? What are you trying
he
to do?
He looked a bit weird.
But no, but like the story is he's in our world.
I don't know why he's electric.
Well, wasn't Sonic electric?
No, I don't think so.
When he got fast, he's...
No, he's just super fast.
No?
It's just speed. Speed lines, you're saying.
Oh, right. There has to be some sort of electricity power. No, definitely did. One of those
maybe
boxes
one of the,
you could hit.
Maybe one of the like Sonic on Dreamcast or something.
Wait, remember you used to hit the TVs and you get like a power-up?
Yeah, it's the bubble.
Yeah, but there was also like an electric one as well, like where the rings came to you. Magnet.
Oh, maybe the sequels.
Well, Sonic 2 is the best one ever, man.
What?
Brings in Tails.
And Knuckles.
No, that's 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then there's Sonic and Knuckles.
You don't think Sonic 1 is the...
I mean, Sonic 1.
Sonic 1's a classic.
Yeah, it is great. But like...
My hands are turned upside down.
You're giving me Sonic, and then you're giving me a furry little friend that can fly, like...
Tails, see, Johnny plays these on my phone now. She loves Sonic 2. She loves Tails because she can just keep hitting it and he just flies all the way through the level, like avoiding all obstacles and danger. But, you know. Anyway.
Yeah.
One more little nugget before we get right in. I had my driving test.
Did you pass?
I did not.
No, Andrew. Come on.
I tell you what. Fucking pain in the arse, this driving
Where
test.
Did you take it? In
Wicklow.
Yeah.
The pre-test was more stressful than the actual test. I was stressed going in just because I didn't know what the test would be like. You hear all these horror stories and all this sort of stuff. But the pre-test was like, the guy's about 100. All right. And he was like, you know, oh, you're going too fast. Oh, you're going. But like, the way he put it every time, I had a 2-hour pre-test.
Before your test?
Yeah, straight before my test. Jesus. And it was my only pre-test.
That can't be a good idea.
Well, I guess not because I failed. But when he was doing it, he's always like, what do you think about the gear you're in now, judging from your speed?
Just tell
what
me.
What do
like,
you think about your blah, blah, blah? I'm like, so, and then like, there'd be times where I'd be going, like, there'd be a sign that says like 60 kilometers an hour. And I'm going 50. What do you think of your speed? And like, well, it says 60. It's like, yeah, but you know, you can be fined for going too slow. And like, well, so I have to be exactly the exact speed like this fucking guy. And the guy, you
that's really harsh. No
wiggle room at all. So I'm going in completely unconfident.
Yeah.
I
got a test in 2 hours, right?
But the guy actually who did the test was actually lovely. He just sits there and you just do your thing. I failed on like. Well, one, repeatedly not checking my blind spot over the shoulder. And the other one was, I went... You ever see those, like, on the road, there's, like, those little boxes with the arrow? Like, if you're turning right, you can sort of go into that box. I went in there behind another car, and then the light went red. And so I'm kind of stuck in the middle. Yeah. And he was saying, like, he was saying you can go even if the light's red. And I didn't know that. Like, and I didn't want to run a red light on my test. Like, so it's kind of... And anyway, I did that twice. So immediate fail on those ones. Plus, I hit the curb on my reversing around the corner.
And I hit an old lady.
I nearly did hit an old lady. I really nearly did. You may mention that to me afterwards. Now, she would just assume that you were stopping there. I was like, ugh. Anyway, let's take it again. Yeah. So that's what's been
all
going on.
All ahead of me, Andy. All ahead of me. Oh,
God, you'll pass your test before me.
I doubt it, man. I'm pretty reckless on my bike in that, like, I'm just like, oh.
Bring, bring. I'm
always like that, but, like, it's more like I treat sometimes, like, if I'm crossing at a light, like, as if I'm still a pedestrian. I'm like, oh, it's grand. Like, I should really, like, wait for the light, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, I'm here to give you lessons, Terry.
No thanks.
Shall we move on to why we're here today, Terry?
Sure.
That's to discuss season 5, episode 15 of The Simpsons.
15.
And this season's only got 22 episodes, so we've only got like 7 episodes left in the season.
We are flying.
Deep Space Homer. Now, if you don't mind, Terry, I will hit you with some facts and trivia. It was directed by Carlos Baeza? Written by David Merkin, showrunner himself, David Merkin. And it aired in blah, 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 February 24th.
Sorry, what was that?
Oh, that was just me short-circuiting. Just a bit of oil to cure that. It aired on February 24th, 1994. And surprisingly did a little bit worse than the previous week. It had a Nielsen rating of, blah, 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 blah. 10 points. I've lost it. Forget it. sorry, Nielsen rating of 11.1.
Yeah, sure, it's okay.
what we're witnessing now is Andy falling apart at the seams on the mic. Had a Nielsen rating of 11.1, equivalent to 10.3 million viewing households. And it is widely regarded, this episode, as one of the best in The Simpsons catalogue, Terry. Now, what we think we will get to at the end. What I thought was interesting was, first of all, it's the only episode that was written by showrunner David Merkin.
That's his only writing credit?
Yeah, it's the only episode written by him.
I know he had the idea for ages, apparently.
Yeah, it was based on a cancelled NASA project of Teacher in Space, where ordinary civilians were sent into space to increase the public's interest. What I thought was interesting is that they sort of seemed to struggle a bit on the, you know, where they go with the episode. Several gags were apparently toned down to make the episode a bit more realistic. There was an idea floating around that everyone at NASA was as stupid as Homer, which was abandoned. But the writers focused more on Homer's attempts to gain his respect from his family.
I think that's the right way to go.
I think so. Yeah. They could have gone so many different ways. Yeah. And like, I wonder if this was seen at the time as like The Simpsons jumping the shark.
I was going to say, we'll get into it there. Yeah. But like, it does very much seem that, like, you know.
Yet it's sort of like right in the, you know,
sweet spot. Like,
you know. And what I thought was funny is Buzz Aldrin and James Taylor guest starred, and they were concerned that Aldrin might consider his line, "Second comes right after first," to be an insult. So the writers wrote an alternative line, "First to take a soil sample." But apparently he was totally fine with it and said the original line. And what I thought was interesting is the potato chip sequence was directed by David Silverman rather than the director of the episode. Which I don't really know why, but I guess he's just better at it.
Maybe. It seems like a harder thing to animate. You know, like, that sort of the
way they're all floating.
Yeah, and like just the angle that it's coming at, where it's like it's a long continuous take of Homer floating towards the ants or whatever like that, like, you know.
But apart from that, I mean, we know it contains several references.
I have a little game in store.
Oh, I love games, Terry.
You need your pen, though.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Put your hand on the table.
Terry, please.
Come on, do it.
Is that really the game?
No. But we'll get into it when we get into the episode.
Oh, excellent.
But I just have the fact that they have a copy of this episode on the International Space Station, so real astronauts can watch it. And just the fact that, you know, when they're looking for like what's on TV, it's like Tim Allen in Home Improvement.
Yeah.
Do you remember the line that I was like, "I killed Wilson, it's back to jail
for me"?
Like, he was in jail in real life before he was famous, like Tim Allen. That's like, it's not a...
Seems like a bit of a dig from The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's not like his character in Home Improvement. It's like Tim Allen.
No, it's Tim Allen himself.
Other than that, though... and that Matt Groening, that when Homer's face changes to Popeye Nixon...
I've got plenty to say about that.
Yeah. Well, apparently it was one of his least favourite gags from the show.
Frankly, I don't blame him.
I might be in the minority of the three of us.
Well, on that bombshell, Terry,
should we get into it?
Please.
What do you think of this opening here?
The Worker of the Week award?
Well, just the lead up to that, when it's like they're going through the scanner and it's, you know, on the way to it, like, clean, pistol, Uzi, like, kids posing as an adult.
Like, what are they actually going to stop if they're letting all this through?
Homer as the chimp, I guess. Like, you know.
It's a nice little visual gag. Yeah.
I guess it was one of the ways when I knew this episode. You know, if it came on TV, it's like, oh, it's the space episode. You know,
That reminds me, and I completely forgot about this, that I used to have this thing with Tony when we were watching Simpsons. I was like, I guarantee it was before TV, you know, digital TV. Yeah. I was like, I guarantee you within the first 15 seconds I'll be able to tell you what this episode is. Yeah. Or maybe it was 10 seconds or something like that. And I remember actually just saying that's one
of the ones that always stuck me. It's like a dead giveaway, whatever you want to say. But it was like, that's the definitive check mark. Oh, yeah, it's this one, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I do like the fact that, like, when they're saying they hate the Worker of the Week awards. They're all wearing their awards.
I know, yeah. They're all wearing them. And I love the fact, or was it Carl, where he's like, everyone that works here has already got one, except for...
Hello! It's like, when you don't have like...
canned laughter or something, yeah.
You know, rule number 26, every employee must win a Worker of the Week award at least once, regardless of gross incompetence, obesity, or rank odor. I was kind of hoping they did something, like somebody give a little sniff or something like that when he said, like
as rank odor.
Yeah, because it's like obesity and incompetence.
It's kind of like a missed opportunity almost,
And then we get Burnsy. I thought this was amazing. I completely forgot about it, where it's like, compadres, it is imperative we crush the freedom fighters before the start of the rainy season. And remember, a shiny new donkey for whoever brings me the head of Colonel Montoya. It's like, what is he doing?
Yeah, what does he think is happening?
Yeah, he's like, oh, right, I'm in the wrong place. Like,
I like that Smithers asked for them to...
the awe.
Let's have an odd hush, please, for Mr. It's like,
And I do like Homer when they give it to the Rod. Homer's like, inanimate, huh?
I love that.
I'll show him inanimate. Just the shadow or
the way the sun's setting or something. He's like, I'll show him inanimate. There's a few, like, we'll get to them as they come up, but there was a few, like, what I thought really good, like, not even visual, like, not gags, but just visual shots or whatever. Yeah. Like, there's a few moments in this where I think, oof, I like that. Like,
and like,
that was one of them.
That there is, reminds me of like Homer, you know, with Homer on the edge, like Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 1.
Yeah, he's
type of Homer, like, where he's like, you know, and it all rage sort of is bubbling up. Like,
it all kind of stems from Homer just not being acknowledged at work. Like,
yeah, different job, man. Yeah. I mean, he has about 50 through the course of the series, but like, so then it's, they're at dinner and he's saying that it's a popularity contest, you know, them picking the rod. And I actually really like Bart throughout this episode, where it's like his obsession with the rod. He's like, did you actually get to see the rod? And you get basically Homer having a full on breakdown here.
I thought that was funny, because it's like Bart draws on his skull and
insert brain here.
Yeah, and Homer's trying to see it.
The animation of him trying to twist his neck around to see the back of his head, like,
it makes my neck hurt. Yeah, just even like, and the fact that they're all laughing,
and then they become worried.
And then he just keeps going, and it's like,
oh. Like, oh my god, is he okay? And then we get Homer.
Terry, stop right where you stand. We'll be back after this.
TV respects me. It laughs with me, not at me.
You stupid.
Don't.
It's a lovely day for a launch here live at Cape Canaveral at the lower end of the Florida Peninsula. And the purpose of today's mission is truly, really electrifying.
That's correct, Tom. The lion's share of this flight will be devoted to the study of the effects of weightlessness on tiny screws.
Unbelievable. And just imagine the logistics of weightlessness. And of course, this could have literally millions of applications here on Earth. In everything from watchmaking to watch repair.
Boring!
No! The batteries!
Now let's look at the crew a little.
They're a colorful bunch. They've been dubbed the Three Musketeers.
And we laugh legitimately. There's a mathematician, a different kind of mathematician, and a statistician.
Make it stop!
No, not another boring space launch. Change the channel! Change the channel!
I can't!
I love that, just, it's that simple, like, 1-2 punch that they've mastered, where it's like, oh, this thing will,
yeah,
like, help me out or whatever. It's like, you know, TV respect, laughs with me. And it's like, you stupid.
Like, when would they ever have that? I always love the way they do boring stuff on TV. Like, so that's some good of the funniest stuff that they have, is that when they try and imitate something that's just really boring.
And like it's supposed to be Tom Brokaw, I guess. We wouldn't, I only know him from sort of the Simpsons
shows and stuff,
Like, we wouldn't get exposed to him over here, but like, he's just, I love the impression of what his voice is like, you know.
And which one was Tom Brokaw's? He's the one.
Unbelievable. Just imagine the logistics of weaknesses. And of course, this could have literally millions of applications here on Earth. Everything from watchmaking to watch repair. Too good, the writing.
We laugh legitimately.
I like the mathematician, a different kind of mathematician, and a statistician. just good, and like even like
so brilliant.
The look of the astronauts, they're so similar. Like,
it's so boring.
Yeah, yeah. But that, they again, that's like they're in their stride here, and it's like everything. They're just sort of nailing it, like, you know.
Yeah.
There's very little in this episode that didn't work for me.
Yeah, I agree. One or two exceptions, but I will get to them when I get. But yeah, it's a very strong. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
And kind of jump over to NASA now, and we get. The scientist guy, or he's the head of NASA, I guess. Whoever he is, like, he's never really given a name. I was like, what a interesting looking character.
Yeah. Like the older guy.
Yeah,
like,
And his voice. And he's like, oh my God, we've been beaten by a candy chunk Christmas.
And I love the fact that they're only interested in
the ratings.
Yeah, the ratings. Like, that's it.
Yeah. That assistant guy as well is like, they do a really good job as the episode goes along, like, filling out his character.
Yeah.
That, like, what's his deal? Like, he's
with the thick glasses,
sinister, that guy. Like, and we get sort of, they have a meeting because they're in danger of losing their funding.
And what the general idea is that they don't want like athletic go-getters.
Yeah,
they want like
they want the everyman. But like, I like the fact that it was like, maybe we should tell them the big secret that the chimps we sent into space came back super intelligent. Like, the chimps spins around the side. No, I don't think we'll be telling them that.
That's a line that I adapt and use a lot in my day-to-day life. No, I don't think blah, blah, blah.
And then just roller skates off. Like, but like, the fact that he's like in a suit and like the big cheesy grin. Like,
like, I'd love to know that backstory like on its own.
So they kind of say, who's the most popular on TV? And we've already talked about Home Improvement.
Back to jail for me.
Yeah. And then we get Married with Children is the other one. Like,
so I love the fact that it's so basic. Like, let's have sex.
No pig.
Toilet flush. Did you used to watch that when you were a kid?
Loved it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I don't think it ages very well. If I watched it now, I'd be like,
I don't think I could laugh at it. You know.
I liked about it though, like, they always had like a continuity, and it was like how he was like, first of all, the fact that he was a shoe salesman.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like, and it's like always like a big fat woman.
Yeah.
And he was like trying to fit into a shoe, but also that, like, they always reference like how he scored four touchdowns in a high school game for a Polk High or whatever, like, you know,
living off that.
Yeah,
still,
and that goes for like, it's referenced for like eight seasons or whatever. That, like,
is that how long the show ran for? Or whatever.
I remember, like, you knew it was getting on when it was like the dog died in real life and they killed it off in the show.
Oh yeah.
And then they like put the dog's soul into another dog, something like that. You know, like. You know, because you know the dog was like some guy doing a voiceover.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like, they had a different dog, and it was like still the same voiceover. Like,
what was the name of the kid? David Faustino?
Yeah.
Talk to the head.
Go to the face, listening.
As soon as he started growing a beard or growing facial hair.
Bud Bundy?
Bud Bundy.
Yeah, I know, where he's like caught wanking in the library. He's like, Frida Bundy won.
Brilliant.
But it's like, they're all a bunch of blue-collared slabs. They said they're going to have a bit of a search. And we had it at the start of the episode where...
So good.
It's like, again, we're talking about that timing where it's just like... And if you think about it too much, it kind of falls apart. It was like, how would Homer get through to... Like,
I know, that line. Yeah, it's like, he just answers
puts
straight.
Puts him on speakerphone. Like, is this NASA?
Good. He says exactly what they're looking for. He's just an ordinary blue collar slob. You know, it's what he likes on TV.
Got a church and he's like, how did you get this number?
Shut up. I love a good shut up. Yeah. Like,
how come I can't get no tang around here?
As soon as the toilet flushes, they know that's him. Yeah.
But I love then, like, that's the ad break. And then the next thing is there he's in Moe's, and he's like, exact same thing. He's like, is this President Clinton? If anybody knew how to get me some tang, I figured it'd be you. He's like, pause, like, shut up.
Now, was this before or after the, presumably after the scandal, was it?
When was this? 94?
I thought, when was the,
I don't know, Lewinsky? Maybe 95, 96? Because he was only president.
Siri, when was the Monica Lewinsky scandal?
Delighted it didn't work.
I found this on the web.
20 years. It was 98.
Okay, so yeah.
So, I'll tell you what.
For the record, don't ever do that again.
You know what I do now when I'm putting on the dinner or something?
You're a fucking knobhead, man.
I'll tell you what, man. I put it in the oven and I go, Siri, set a timer for 22 minutes. Time is set. And then I don't forget. What's wrong with that? That's the way it's all going to go, Terry. Voice activated.
No.
Stone. That's how it's going.
Never.
You better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone.
There's option B. Don't get in the water.
Well, I don't have another metaphor, but anyway.
I'm closer to going
You can just say, okay, Google.
No, I'm closer to going off the grid.
I kind of feel that way myself sometimes. And then
clearly, like.
Sometimes. Yeah. When I'm not completely on the grid.
Anyway. So we get, basically, they show up and they ask Homer, was it him that called it? And Homer, being the coward that he is, points to Barney. And I love the line where it's like, how would you like to get higher than you've ever been in your life? Like, be an astronaut? Yeah. Sure. It's like, they really like set you up and like pull the rug out from underneath you there, like. So, and then they're just like, okay, we're gonna, you know, you'll get all the respect you'll ever need.
Yeah, exactly. Again, exactly Homer, what Homer wants. Yeah. I love the fact, like, when Homer calls them, he's telling them exactly what they want. I'm a blue collar slob, I know what I like. And then they come, they're telling him, you'll get the respect from your family. And
whatever. Really good writing, like. And then, like, just the fact that he's, like, so desperate. He's like, that's the FBI. I have a file. I have a file.
And they take both of them by just clubbing them over the head. Like, I really don't think that was necessary. They wanted to be astronauts. I don't.
So then we get a little bit of the. And then can you tell me what this reference is?
Planet of the Apes?
No. The bit before the news conference where Homer and his family show up in a car.
Oh, the Beverly Hillbillies.
Correct. 1 point.
What are you writing?
That's the game.
What?
I'm going to ask you a reference.
Terry, I don't know the rules of this game.
Play a little game with you, Andrew.
Let's play a game.
Would you like to play a game?
Okay, well, that's one.
Yeah.
One for one.
Yep.
What do I win if I get to the end?
Not your life.
You get to leave with your life.
Okay, well, fair enough. Well, I'm going to stop you right where you stand, Terry.
Ooh.
Right where you fucking stand, Terry.
Oh.
Because
whoa.
Okay, all right.
Oh, coming in hot with that language.
You got a clip? We will play it and come back.
Ladies and gentlemen and members of the press, I'd like to present the new generation of NASA astronaut, the average American.
Jim Wallace, Associated Press. Is this a joke?
Well, far from it, Jim. One of these men will prove space travel is within the reach of the common man.
Toby Hunter, Minneapolis Star. No, really, is this a joke?
No, Toby. And no more questions about whether this is a joke.
Oh. Question for the barbecue chef. Don't you think there is an inherent danger in sending underqualified civilians into space?
I'll field this one. The only danger is if they send us to that terrible planet of the apes. Wait a minute. Statue of Liberty. That was our planet! You maniacs! You blew it up! Damn you! Damn you all to hell!
Thank you, I'm afraid that's all we have time for.
I do like the fact that the reporters are just not taking it seriously. No, seriously, is this a joke? Plus, I was also a fan of the way they drag Barney's lifeless body from behind the curtain.
Well, I liked it where he's like, question for the barbecue chef. Like, they have Barney dressed as a golfer, like. But that's one of the all-time great, yeah. Like that whole...
You're maniacs.
Yeah.
And he's like, but I love how confident Homer is. He's like, I'll handle this one. And he's like, the only things they sent us to that terrible Planet of the Apes. Like, wait a minute.
Like, he's just putting it together now in front of everybody.
And this is what I, like, you know what he said, like, they didn't have much place to go. I'm liking that they sort of spend time of the process of who's going to become the astronaut.
Yeah.
You know, like, because...
Between the two of them.
Yeah, and, like, it's a really good idea, I think, to have Barney. And then, like, Barney be what he, like, what you've seen him in flashbacks. Like, one day off the booze, and he's, like...
Yeah, he's just a go-getter.
Like, yeah, it's great. Like, the whole thing where he's, like, no beard. He's, like, 3 weeks with only one? I'll go crazy. But I always had it in my head that it was, like, when Homer's, like... He's got a big drinking problem. Could embarrass the program. Meet me up in that tree later, I'll tell
Meet
you
Meet me up in that tree.
I'm like, I had it in my head, it's like, you see them in a treehouse or something, like, or the two of them walk off together, like...
Previously, like, before watching
like,
it again.
Now, yeah, previously, yeah. I was like, do you get to see, like, a little scene with the two of them?
I don't think
like,
there
no,
was.
No, but, like, I just had it in my head, like... and I like how they sort of moved them to the house... Like on site at Cape Canaveral.
I love the kitchen. Like when they're talking in the kitchen, like at whatever. Well, I didn't know it was Cape Canaveral, but it was just that. Like I just have in my notes NASA kitchen.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. I like anything outside of the norm, sort of thing.
I did like. We don't get a lot of Marge in this episode, but I like this little sort of ramble that she goes on where it's like.
I didn't get this. Like
it's just her. Like I think it's just because you know she's like always like. Down on everything, I guess. So it was like I was nervous, then anxious, then wary, then apprehensive, then kind of sleepy, then worried, and then concerned. I think it's because like they're all the same.
Oh yeah,
thing
yeah,
like
yeah.
You know. And Homer was like, "Huh? Who's doing what now?"
Yeah.
And Homer is next morning shows up with a. I like how he shows up with a donut for like training. And he's like, I don't see Barney. Let's crash the rocket into the White House and kill the President Gumbo.
And then, like, what? So it's been like a day, and he's like, he doesn't have the belly anymore.
Like, that's the thing. They make Barney look like a bit of a tank.
Yeah.
And it's just.
He's regained his balance and diction. Observe.
I'm the very model of a major general. I'm information, vegetable, animal, and mineral.
Oh, that's nothing. Watch this. That once was a man from Nantucket.
And it would be like Homer goes for like the dirty limerick that can't get it finished.
And I like the fact when the way he falls, like he bangs into the wall and then his head drops like onto the ground again. Like when he falls down the stairs, like on those other ones where he just like, it's like so pinpoint the top of his head.
Yeah. He's like a bit of a bowling pin head at times.
He
like.
Does, yeah.
And then we get... When they're on the... Is it the centrifugal machine?
Centrifugal?
Well, it's a centrifuge. So...
Pretty sure if you're elongating that, it changes to centrifugal.
Why did you ask Siri?
I will.
Don't.
I don't need a second invitation.
Fine, whatever. But you get like a nice little montage, basically. The first one is... I like how they didn't have Barney's face change. Where he's just like, and then like Homer is. I like it.
He turns into Pop. I just thought it was so like weird, like for the scene. Like I can't stand no more. Like, it just seems so. I never noticed it. Never noticed it before. I just sort of went with it. But it was only this time I was like, that's a bit weird, just to throw in there. Like
made me smile. Yeah.
David Merkin's first and last written episode.
The fact that like you get Barney blowing into the machine, Homer is sucking it down, and you get a sort of a battle to the death.
Yeah,
do you know what that is a reference of?
Star Trek.
Oh
yes.
I also would have taken the Cable Guy.
Oh, okay.
Which itself is referencing Star Trek.
Well, have you gotten extra points for that?
No.
All right. So 2 for 2.
Yeah, wow. Well,
all right.
I am impressed.
I'm glad that you're writing these down. Yeah. It makes me feel like I'm really accomplishing something that it's written down on paper.
They introduce them to the two experienced astronauts who will accompany them into space. Race Banyan and Buzz Aldrin.
Love the name Race Banyan.
I love the look of this guy, where he's just like,
he'll clog the instrument. His voice.
That's it.
But whenever I see Buzz Aldrin now, I just think of his appearance on when he hosted Monday Night Raw.
What?
Like 2010, 11 or something like that.
He hosted?
He hosted.
He was
terrible.
Well,
I tried to
like
find the clip.
Or something,
I know. He was like, it was so like, he shouldn't have been on the mic. He was kind of like, he's like, I support the president or something like that. And then it was like, and he's like, he was talking about something about Canada. It's like, Canada has a wonderful space program. It's like, when I landed on the moon, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, how about that? Like, and everyone's just like, oh, I just didn't land at all.
Should have started the Neil Armstrong chant.
What?
Neil Armstrong chant.
First to take a soil sample.
I like Homer here, where he's saying the little something called the swimsuit competition.
He's, again, he's so confident. Like, if that is your real name.
Yeah.
There's no swimsuit competition, Homer.
Now, when he says, yeah, I shave my bikinis on for nothing, I laughed as a kid. That seems like one of those ones that's been a bit.
It's the delivery that still gives me the smile. Like, you mean I shave my bikinis on for nothing?
Yeah, he's got his hands on hips. Yeah, so, yeah.
I like how like Barney is like, and he's holding on to the rings and he's like,
just spinning around,
like,
and Homer's just standing beside him. I like that, yeah, like little like touch that like Homer's not doing anything and Barney's still working.
I love this, like, you both worked very hard, in a way you're both winners, but in another more accurate way, Barney is the winner.
I've seen memes of that online of like City and Liverpool, like they're in front of their faces, but in a more accurate way, Man City are the winner.
So they have a drink to the mission.
To the mission.
Love this animation where it's like, it begins. And they're like, oh, Barney.
He takes the jetpack and.
Water that afternoon.
I love the fact, again, it's a great gag where it's like, he lands on like the pillow factory.
Yeah, on the roof of the pillow factory.
The hard part of the pillow factory. And he gets run over by a truck that's full of marshmallows.
Yeah, that's great. Like, and I was like thinking about it. I was like, if you think about the logic of it too much, like it's weird because like it's like non-alcoholic champagne. It's like, is he such of an alcoholic that like
just the taste,
just the idea of like
I thought that too.
Like, oh,
it's just
Barney,
it's just
like,
familiar to him. He's just back to normal.
And then Homer, you know, this is a very memorable. This is one of the things I don't think holds up.
Which bit?
The default.
Default.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So, back from a break, we get a Itchy and Scratchy cartoon.
Itchy is a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, poor Scratchy. Like, he's sent out to space, then he's chopped in half on the ring of a planet. Then, like, he's trying to get his legs back. They burn up. And then Itchy comes out again, pulls his thing off, and pops his head.
Let me ask you, there's two references in this.
Shit.
In this one. Have you got one?
Space Odyssey?
Oh, yeah, I didn't think you'd get that one. Wow, what was being referenced in Space Odyssey? Just out of curiosity.
Well, if you're going to do that. I haven't seen the movie.
It's actually the thing that Itchy comes out into space with, you know, the...
The little thing.
Yeah. So you get a 3, but you do not get a 4, unless you want to take a shot.
It's from a movie?
Yeah.
Not Space Odyssey?
Not Space Odyssey.
Hold on. Am I going to get it, really?
I mean, it's a big movie. It's pretty famous.
Alien?
Yes!
Boom!
What part was Alien?
Ah, well, as long as there's absolutely no follow-up questions.
What part was Alien?
The pulling of the helmet off?
No, when the...
Fresh,
Sharon?
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah. Fleming. when the chest burster happens. Really itchy and scratchy. when he eats the sandwich and then like itchy bursts out of his
chest. Oh, of course. I didn't even think of that bit. It was a total stab in the dark. If I'd actually remembered that bit, I would have gotten it.
Yeah, you get the points.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, but the animation of his legs floating away.
I know.
He's just like, oh, okay.
I just feel so bad for him there. He's start, like, it's because he's trying to like scamper to get them, and then they just burn up in the planet, and he tries to get away. And then they go, ah, oh, first grade.
Pop his head. But I love it when it comes back to Homer. He's like bucketing sweat.
I have that. Even Homer on the couch. I love the animation of him like gripping the couch and sweating. Like,
really, really good stuff.
Like. And I like the fact that Itchy and Scratchy is always in some way related to the plot.
Yeah.
That like one of them is always like, or scared of or something.
Well, it's just like, it's like, oh, it really like piles on to whatever the person is feeling. Like, it's the worst possible episode they can ever be watching. Yeah. Like, it seems to happen a lot. Like, and then, did you like that? The preceding program contained scenes of extreme violence and should not have been viewed by children. Now, the next part is they are all walking towards the space station. You know what this is in reference to? I think your luck is about to run out, Andrew.
They're walking towards the space, like when they're all slow motion, helmets or whatever. Yeah. My gut instinct, and I'm not going to say this, I keep banging this mic. My gut instinct was Apollo 13, but I know it's not Apollo 13 because that was after. I will hit you with Space Odyssey again.
Wrong.
What was it?
It is a little movie called The Right Stuff.
Never heard of it. I would have never got that.
Probably the most famous movie about astronauts.
Really?
Yeah, but it was
pre Apollo 13, of course.
Yeah.
Pre gravity, of course.
Yeah, I mean, but this is pre gravity.
Of course. I do say it.
But you even get it at the end when Homer's like, maybe I do have the right. What's that stuff? See?
Right over my head.
I really like that, the visage, if you will.
Ooh, I love that word.
Oh, all right.
You peaked. I'm sitting up now, Terry.
Again, from 6 to midnight. of like Homer walking towards in slow motion, then it was like no,
yeah.
And then like run away, like
almost that, just because he was just scared to get in the rocket, basically. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that. Yeah,
but I like the story then he has next, where it's like
marriage.
Yeah, and he's on the phone. It's a really like nice moment.
That's what I was like, that was another one of these moments in the episode where I just love the animation. I love the fact that he's on a payphone in his astronaut suit or whatever. He's at whatever, I don't know, Cape Canaveral.
Yeah.
And like you see this stuff in the background, it's dark. Marge is in the other kitchen that's not hers. I just like the whole thing. Like, it just works really well. Like,
and like,
and Marge has been just really supportive. And
it's like, I respected you. And it's like, you didn't know how to use a dial tone when I met you. And while she's saying it, she's like,
Marge's face as well, where she's like, here we go again.
Yeah. But the whole thing of like, when he's talks about like, I'll go a little later.
Yeah.
I'll go a little later. And then when I got there, they told me he just left. And I asked the mall guy if he would ever come back again. He said he didn't know. But I'm not going to let something like that happen again. I'm going into space right now.
Like, it's so serious. Like,
yeah. And then
I'm so proud of you. It's going to be just fine.
Beep, beep, beep.
Oh, great joke.
So, I like this, how they're strapped in, and it's like, all systems go. Homer's like, are we there yet? I'm thirsty. And your man Ray's like, mission control, request permission to sedate cargo ahead of schedule. It's like, permission denied. Just that, like, guy's already.
Voice is
like,
just so funny.
Already he's like, so pissed off or so infuriated with him. Like,
he's not happy about this program at all.
It's like, the checklist is IRS surveillance satellite.
Check.
Ant farm.
Check.
Children's letters to God.
Check.
You like how it's to jettison. Children's letter to God, to jettison.
I didn't get the reference.
As in, like, they're just going to, like, throw it
fire
out.
Fire it out. Yeah, yeah. All right. Three, two, one. Make rocket go now.
I love that. Like, and then you get another little, with the G-force, little psych guy.
He turns into what, Nixon?
Nixon.
I mean, like, it's like the last one. Like, it's good, it's grand, but like, it's like now where I'm like, it's a bit out of place.
I like it.
They're only short of just going like, you know, bonking someone in the head and seeing Tweety Birds fly around. Like, it's not that kind of animation. You know?
Yeah, I know, but like, also, he's going into space, so, you know. Yeah. It's, you know,
it's kind of far-fetched to begin with.
And that's what I mean. Like, I mean, I guess we didn't really talk about it, but like,
yeah, do you think
this is the kind of premise where it's like, I don't know, Homer goes to space.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it could come off as. Yeah, like, you know, like, or like, it's kind of, you'd think you would see something like that. It's interesting that it's like in season 5.
Yeah.
When they do this.
You think you'd see it in like season 19 or something.
Yeah. So the fact that like, I don't think that they were out of ideas, but the fact that they were willing to tell a good story this outlandish this early on is pretty like remarkable.
and to do it with a sort of a grounding of like, he's doing it to, you know, get respect of his family, but they're watching him on TV, like, it's a big moment for them. It's not like, you know, the way you'd see in like animation where like, oh, they're in space and now they're just doing their thing, but they're in space. But like in this one, it's like they're all watching him. It's a big moment.
They really like give you the idea of like, it would be the same if somebody had trained to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
Like, your family would be there. Yeah. You'd still be as worried or whatever, that, like, yeah, you know, that sort of thing.
The fact that they took the whole family out of Springfield, moved them into, you know, like, I just like the way they went about it. They kept
they
it sort of grounded.
They handled it very deftly.
Oh, like, yeah. Another great word. Tell you, you're scratching me right where I itch.
Please, Andrew.
I'm sorry.
I like that when it's basically the assistant comes and he's like, good news, the ratings for the launch are the highest in 10 years.
And how's the spacecraft doing?
I don't know, this equipment is all used to measure TV ratings. Like, so all, like, it could be room, bigger. Like,
yeah. Giant control room.
And you get the most awe-inspiring sight he's ever seen. Giver of life, mother to us all. Hey guys, the Cry smuggled aboard.
Homer, no.
They'll clog the instruments.
His voice every time. Careful, they're ruffled.
Now, pop quiz, hotshot.
Shit.
What is it referencing when Homer is doing his little space dance here to get the chips?
Is it Space Odyssey again?
It is Space Odyssey again. Yes. Oh.
All right. I'm doing very well now, I have to say for myself.
Yeah, I mean, boy.
I don't know. For me, that's really good.
I mean, you. Well, I don't know.
I don't know, do I?
First of all, I love the fact that they were able to like fit that into like that piece of music. Is one of my favorite pieces of music.
Is it?
I love it. Like,
would it be your top two classical top one?
Probably. Like, they do a thing every New Year's Day where it's like that Philharmonic from Vienna.
Yeah,
and it's like it's on BBC or whatever like that. Like,
watch it all the time.
I watch it every New Year's morning, like, and it's like when they play this, I'm like, ah, because it cuts in between like shots of the river, like the Blue Danube. Or it's just
brilliant. Yeah. I'd say my favorite piece of classical music.
Nobody asked you, mate.
Since you asked, is what's it called, Moonlight Sonata.
All right, you like that, eh?
Oh yeah, it's very.
It's a bit depressing, though.
Love it, love it. I have nothing else to add to it, but I just love it.
I actually like when the mood strikes a nice bit of classical music. I remember like that. For some reason, I think I had it on my old iPod or whatever, and it was from the Futurama soundtrack. But it was that.
Oh yeah,
the Blue Dead, and it was like a shitty morning going to work, raining. Dart was packed, and that came on. It really like. I was like, no, I'd be
took
like,
you away from your.
I'd be like, skip, and I was like, actually, just left it on. It was like really like lifted my spirits.
Yeah,
like,
nice. That's what it's all about. I tend to prefer classical music with just piano.
All right, do you?
Personally,
I'm all about but strings. Man.
I like certain strings, but I, you know, I don't know. I like a simple. Like
Vivaldi is good, but he's a bit more like. Is that Vivaldi? I don't think that's Vivaldi. I mean, my knowledge. Vivaldi is like Four Seasons.
Oh, right. I always remember it just from bottom. It's like, who is that? Vivaldi? It's like, honestly, Eddie, I'm not talking about football. football with you. Vivaldi, yeah. I mean, you know, all the hits, all the big ones.
Look, I'm not claiming to be some sort of buff, but I know.
But I like what I like on TV.
Yeah. You get the whole, I guess, when he's going towards the ants.
Yeah.
First of all, I love the, like, ants.
The little dialogue between the ants, like, protect the queen.
I'm the queen.
Like, no, you're not.
And then, like, it's like, freedom, horrible, horrible freedom. Yeah.
It's just such a well-done scene. It's possibly one of the best scenes they've
It's a reason why it's constantly replayed. Yeah. Like,
and I love the when Homer's turning with the chip. And I always think he's not going to sync up when he gets to it. Like, and it's going, hop. Yeah, brilliant.
And then we got a treat for you.
Oh,
we've been able to coax superstar James Taylor in here, Division of Control, to wish you well and play a little bit of his own brand of laid-back adult contemporary music.
So why don't you sit back, float there, and listen?
No, because you're skipping a bit.
Damn it!
Where he's like, how you doing, fellas? And James Taylor, like, with all due respect, Mr. Taylor, this isn't the best time for your unique brand of bittersweet folk rock. We have a potentially critical situation here. I'm sure you'll understand.
Listen, Aldrin. I'm not as laid back as people think. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to play, and you're going to float there and like it.
Are you a fan of James Taylor?
Big time. Well, I say big time. I'm a big time fan of the couple of songs that I know. I didn't really get into him. Apparently, he was a real, like, back in the day. First of all, he was signed on Apple Records by, I think, George Harrison or one of them. But he was apparently like a mad like junkie like for the first like whatever years like that.
I was reading up on him tonight, and here's why: because one of my favorite jokes ever is that former President James Taylor.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I had it in my head that it was like, because I was looking it up today, it was like he was in a band called The Presidents.
Oh, is he?
Apparently not, because I can't seem to find it anywhere. I remember seeing a CD in my dad's house of like James Taylor and The Presidents.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's the best joke ever, because he was in The Presidents and now he's not in the president, like former president. And I was looking up and all I could find was like, what is this joke about, like, former President James Taylor? And it's like Homer just thinks James Taylor
was
the president.
I just kind of like, for like not knowing any of that, seeing any of that, I just kind of thought, I actually thought that was a great joke, because it just sounds like he was a president, you know, like we have James, former president James Taylor.
Yeah, but I couldn't seem to find it anywhere, and that's why I was like researching him. I read all that, like how he like committed himself to like a mental institution.
Yeah. I think he went out with Joni Mitchell for a while after Graham Nash.
And
I think a lot of Blue was written about him, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ah, interesting. I like my joke better, but my version of the joke makes more sense if there was a band called The Presidents and then he left.
Let's just say they're both good jokes.
No, but speaking of like favorite jokes in The Simpsons, I was listening to Conan O'Brien's podcast.
I'm loving that podcast.
Have you heard the one with Bill Hader?
No, I didn't hear that one yet. No,
and they were talking about The Simpsons, because he was saying he watches The Simpsons with his children. Conan, those, he's like, I haven't, you know, it's been great. There's this working on it, and then so busy doing my own stuff, I get to revisit it now on the weekend.
Yeah,
with his son or whatever. And Bill Hader was like, oh, like, it's so, the writing is so good. And he was talking about one of his favorite jokes was who shot Mr. Burns, and Smithers is like at the courthouse or whatever. And it was like some guy, the newsreader, and he's like, who are you and what are you doing here? And like, he's like, that's the first question that's asked. And he's like, that's too good. The writing is too good. Like,
Who are you and what are you doing here?
he's like, how do you come up with that? Like, you know,
is that a Conan joke?
That's just later on. But he was just saying, like, the writing on the same thing is so good. Like,
just,
Do you have any favorite jokes?
Probably my favorite joke that I laugh consistently at, I don't know if I laugh so much anymore, but I'd still rank it up there, is Hank Scorpio, where he's like, in fact, I didn't even give you my coat. And he has that on back to front. It's that smile, like,
and his delivery as well, like,
just can't wait to get to that one.
Like a few seasons away, mate.
I know.
So we get Kent Brockman doing a report on
Terry. I'm going to stop you right where you sit and play this absolute doozy of a clip. We'll be back after this.
We're just about to get our first pictures from inside the spacecraft with Average Not Homer Simpson. And we'd like to... Ladies and gentlemen, we've just lost the picture, but what we've seen speaks for itself. The Corvair spacecraft has apparently been taken over, conquered, if you will, by a master race of giant space ants. It's difficult to tell from this vantage point whether they will consume the captive Earthman or merely enslave them. One thing is for certain, there is no stopping them. The ants will soon be here. And I, for one, welcome our new insect overlords. I'd like to remind them that as a trusted TV personality, I can be helpful in rounding up others to toil in their underground sugar caves.
Don't worry, kids. I'm sure your father's all right.
What are you basing that on, Mom?
Who wants ginger snaps?
There's hours of time on the telephone line, talking about things to come. Sweet dreams and flying machines in pieces on the ground. Sweet dreams and flying machines flying safely through the air. I've seen fire.
Oh my god, the ants are shorting out our navigation system!
Ants, huh? We had quite a severe ant problem at the vineyard this year. I had Art Garfunkel come by with his compressor, and we created a total vacuum outside the house, and we blew the ants out the front door. But I'm sure you high-tech NASA people could care less about our resort town ways.
Quiet, you!
Wait a minute! This unkempt youngster just might be onto something.
Okay, everybody grab onto something!
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Make hatch blow now.
And that is that.
No!
Oh my god! This is a disaster!
Gotta go.
Got a little bit of Kent Brockman. I just love how he goes from like 0 to 60, where he's like the first you know, picture from inside the spacecraft, and he just sees the ant and he's like, oh, and he's like, seems we have been taken over, conquered, if you will, by a master race of giant space ants.
Look, he's just so the level of how much he's just accepted from one little thing, he's just accepted, and then he's like, one thing is for certain, there is no stopping, there's no stopping them, the ants will soon be here. And then I love the way he turns like camera two, and I for one welcome like he's already just dealt with it and accepted it.
It's like, I can be helpful rounding up others to toil in their underground sugar cave. He's like, what? He's already created this like dystopian reality. Like,
it's such a good, like, he, like, it shows what kind of person Kent Brockman is, like,
a real,
he's just,
like, slug of a man, like. And then you get like, I love just like the image of like them floating
with
in
frowns
space
on their faces,
yeah, and like
waiting for the song to end.
And flying machines crashing safely into. Oh, that's it.
The fact, yeah, the fact that it's like, and then he changes it.
On the, I mean. Flying safely through the air.
It's like, I love that you have that song, you have the fact that they're in space floating, and the ants, Chris, are everywhere, and they're just floating there with frowns, just waiting, just being polite. And then, like, wait, like they're actually floating there and listening.
And it's like, oh my god, the ants are shorting out our navigation system. And then I just love his, like, sort of, his solution. It was like, down in the vineyard.
I blew the ants out the front door. But I'm sure you high-tech NASA people care less about our resort town ways.
And, like, I love how your man has the...
He's ready. He loves clubbing people with that thing.
It's like, shut up. Anybody that does, like, wants to shut up, like, shut up.
This unkempt youngster might be onto something.
Yeah. Gotta go.
Just so good.
Yeah. And then this thing here, like... It still works, even though you know that, like, that's not how it would work in real life.
Yeah.
Where, like, but it was like, first of all, like, I love that make hatch blow now.
Yeah.
Is the next thing. And everything gets sucked out. And then Homer, like, they're all strapped in. Homer's not strapped in. He's just hanging on.
The seatbelt's just flailing. Like, yeah.
And that is that. But then, like, the idea of, like, oh shit, like, Homer is.
Yeah.
Like, this close to...
Well, I always... For all its flaws, I mentioned it already, but the movie Gravity, one thing that it
great
did...
Great movie. Didn't have a lot of flaws.
The flaw was the casting for me, but, you know, it was... But,
maybe Sandra Bullock. You can't tell me...
Yeah, I love George Clooney, but like, you can't have them both together. I can have one or one and an unknown.
She
or
seemed
one.
A bit... And I hate... Like, I wouldn't say you can't cast this woman because she's too old, but, like, it was very hard to buy into her being the rookie.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the whole thing, it just seemed like George Clooney and Sandra Bullock in space. That was my problem with it.
You know what? give me George Clooney in space any day.
Yeah, okay, well, fair enough.
Sandra Bullock, not so much anymore.
but what that movie sort of made me realize is, like, if you're floating through space, like, say if they're floating from one thing, is like, say that mic stand, like, if I'm floating and I just miss it, like, you're dead.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're not dead yet.
I was terrified watching that film, you know, in the cinema.
If you can't grab onto something, like, or if you miss it.
My anxiety, like, it's like, because it's that whole thing of, like, it's the same as water. Like, you know, if you're swept away by a current, and that kind of having gone through that a few years prior in Thailand. Watching that there, I was like, oh, this is a horror movie for me.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, like, just grab it. Like, grab the screen.
And, like, they could be literally, like, you could be, like, where you are to me, but if I'm at the door and you're floating away and there's something behind, like, you're just dead. Yeah. Like, and that's
See you later. Like, oblivion.
Terrifying. Yeah. So, so when Homer was blown out, I was just thinking, like, if he just lets go, he's dead. But then also when they were rescuing him, like, they weren't getting sucked out. He was just holding on to the top of the door and he put out his hand and pulled them back in. Like.
And then, you know, the door closes, but it won't close.
I know.
Automatically, So, but, you know, it's a cartoon.
Yeah,
like,
sure, somebody got fired for that one.
He was Nixon a couple of scenes earlier, so. that was actually, sorry, James Taylor doesn't run away until after.
When he flies out, gotta go.
He's like, this is a disaster. And James Taylor's like, gotta go. But, like, basically we're saying, like, with that hatch open, we'll burn up on re-entry. If I gotta go, I'm taking you with me.
And when Homer grabs the rod, he's like, I'll bust that pretty face of yours. Bethany bangs it a few times on his helmet.
It's like, as in, like, tap, tap, and now I'm really gonna hit you. Like,
getting himself set up,
I'll bust your gut. I just love, like, that. Again, the struggle, like, with Barney. I was like, Homer, like,
I know someone's been restrained. No.
The Kent Brockman said he's been a little hasty.
He would like to reaffirm his allegiance to this country and its human president. May not be perfect, but it's still the best government we have. For now.
And then the Hey Lance sign is taped behind him. Like,
I love the fact as well in the previous scene how he has such a, like, weird stock image ready.
Yeah, straight away. And he's like, oh yes, by the way, spacecraft still in extreme danger, may not make it back, attempting risky re-entry, blah, blah, blah. We'll talk to you after the movie.
Yeah.
And I love how it's like Buzz and Race are like, and it's Homer like, those golden grapes, those golden grapes, crunching her sexual treat.
Of course, you'll make it. It's TV.
Yeah, like that. Like, grandpa. Like, of course.
And then they crash. It's like, they clearly say, like, you know, first of all, they crash into the reporters' convention. Like, how would you solve the door dilemma? Homer Simpson was the real hero here. He jury-rigged the door closed using this. Like, hey, what is it? It's the head of a carbon rod. Hey.
And then it's like, it's like the rod in the, like,
the magazine in Rod We Trust.
Well, Homer, he gets no respect.
He got gypped, as you say. Couldn't say that in this country.
But only at why gypsy?
Gyp.
Come, like,
there was a kid.
Come.
What, come, like. I just remember as a kid that word's like, oh, it's got jip on it, or jip, or something like that.
I prefer the word jip. Jism.
Jism.
Oh, it's got jism on it. Jip.
These scenarios that we're just finding things that have ejaculate on it. Oh, it's got jism on it.
So you want the last hot dog?
It's still good.
Oh, it's got jip on it.
Oh, brilliant.
So yeah, we get basically Homer, they tell him to be proud, only a handful of people can do. Marge asks Bart, does he have something to say to his father?
He knows how I feel. I like that.
And did you get this reference?
Oh, are you kidding me, where he throws the thing up?
Yeah.
Terry, was this also Space Odyssey?
It was!
Yes! Unprecedented!
Unbelievable!
7 out of 8.
I think 6 out of 7.
I think you didn't mark I don't think you marked the one I got wrong. You just put an X there. Yeah. Excuse me, you didn't.
Well, let me go through my notes here. Okay?
Why don't you check those notes again, Terry?
So we got
one.
We got. Where's my one?
You wrote one. If there's two there, there's a one.
Three, four.
Yeah. Four to four.
Oh, there's one there.
Okay, four to four.
Yeah, and then.
Yeah.
Five was wrong.
Yeah, so four out of five.
Yeah. Six was right, and seven. So six out of seven, like I said.
All right, well. Well. Still.
Still.
What's that, 83.333%?
I want to ask Siri. Do not ask Siri. Unless you're going to answer.
Siri, what percentage is six out of seven?
That would be about 85.7142%.
Thank you, Siri.
But Siri's a girl's name, and you have the man's voice on.
Yeah, that's right. I changed it to the man's voice. I like it. I feel like the man's voice. See, I've put thought into this. I feel like the man's voice is more like my butler. Siri's more like in the girl's voice.
Can you get like different like ethnicities?
I don't know. Like, I don't think so. I think you can get one American and British or something like that.
You couldn't get like, I don't know. A more urban voice.
What do you mean? Of course, if I could, I would get that immediately. Yeah. Today, but no.
I'm
sorry.
Cut that out.
I forgot we're live. I forgot we're live on air.
Well, we're live to tape. Well, should we get into the ratings?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Terry, let me ask you something.
Mm.
What did you think of this episode?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's like a... How would I describe it? I don't want to say it's like a greatest hits record, but it's like a track.
It would be on their greatest hits album.
Yeah. It's like a comforting track. It's like on a greatest hits album. Say
it's like Born to Run.
Yeah. I was going to go Beatles, but Bruce Springsteen, yeah. It's like Born to Run. It's like, you know.
I missed an opportunity to talk Beatles there. Yeah. I'm kicking myself.
You tried to sneak a bit in with the Apple stuff at the start. But, like, I like that, it's a singular enough story.
Yeah.
But, and I think most of the episodes this season have been strongest when they've been like that. But the story sort of morphs into something else by the end. It's still, the core of it is Homer wanting respect.
Yeah.
But it starts off with, like, it almost, he has to try and earn that respect.
Yeah.
First by beating Barney, which he doesn't do, but still gets on, which I think is hilarious. Yeah. Like, and then sort of when they're in space, just him coping.
Yeah.
Like, he's pretty inept when he's in there, which mines good results.
Brilliant,
and then just at the end where he actually has the respect from his family.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't get it from everybody else.
Yeah.
I think that's the core. It's like, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. Like,
plus dovetailing the start and the finish with the rod
and that foreshadowing of it. Like, fair enough, they don't ever mention the rod being on the space shuttle, but I think it's just a genius idea to reintroduce it. I don't. It might seem like a bit of a Deus ex machina, but like,
Terry, no, this is the best one yet. What does that mean?
It's like, how would I put it? For
Latin.
You?
Getting hot in here.
In Game of Thrones terms, it's like every battle when Jon Snow is about to die, like the Battle of the Bastards, that like that whole second army shows up to save him.
Right.
That's a Deus Ex Machina. It's this thing that comes in at the
final hour
to save the day.
Right, you know? Okay.
So that sort of.
I'm learning lots today. Can I ask you who your MVP would be?
My MVP is... I've gone back and forth on this one because I'm very tempted to go with Race, but he only has like four or five lines. Like, I just love the look of him, like constantly like pissed off, and like his brow is furrowed and his voice is amazing. Yeah. But I actually really like the guy running NASA, the scientist, the head scientist guy. Yeah. Like, I love his voice
in a more accurate way. More easily.
I gotta go with him.
And what would your rating be?
I'm gonna give it a solid 8.4.
Ooh, okay.
Is that lower end of the scale though? I can't remember.
It's in the meaty part of the curve for you. Your highest is 9.1.
I think the things that I would knock off stuff for would just be like, it is a bit nonsensical when you think about it, that it's like,
yeah,
like they do a good job in grounding it, but at the same time it's like
he's still in space,
he's gone space, like, yeah. You know, so that's kind of what you, yeah, you take off. It is very like, you can have an episode that's Homer centric and have other characters flesh it out, and like there's not really anything of that, like,
yeah,
the other characters that flesh it out are like these people that we're never going to see before, yeah, again, like, yeah, you know. And, true, yeah, and Barney's the only one, other one really, like,
true,
know.
Yeah, it's a bit,
but
of a,
I love like the casting of like Aldrin and James Taylor, I think is brilliant, yeah, you know, like,
yeah, I'd agree, yeah. I'd agree with pretty much, well, pretty much all that. I also thought it was an excellent episode.
Excellent
episode. And I thought it was, I had more so than any other episode, I will say that I appreciated this episode more. I appreciated the, you know, how everything fit together. I appreciated the imagery. I appreciated the jokes. My MVP would probably be, if you've gone with your man, I'm going to say, oh, I don't know.
No. Seems like you really put a lot of thought into it, Andy.
No, I generally don't put a lot of thought into my MVP, to be honest, until we're live on air. But I'll give it to James Taylor.
Oh, yeah. His delivery is very good.
Yeah, he was really good. And I like the fact that he sang live as well.
Yeah, and the fact that he changed up his lyrics, yeah, as well.
He like, incorporated, yeah, so he was very good.
Plus that joke, man. That president's joke.
I would give this episode, since you asked, Terry, a 8.9.
Whoa!
That's our secret score for today.
A whole 0.5 more than
this
me.
This is unprecedented.
There's no precedent.
Which is makes it my highest rated of the season.
Wow! And let me ask you, just because you've given us
and
that,
the previous season,
have you had like? Did you, would this be like one of your faves from childhood?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I tend, yeah, I think so. I think it would be, yeah. I mean,
see, the funny thing is, for me, I never, like, hooked me as a kid for some, yeah, reason. Like,
I was always a fan of, like, we've talked before, of, like, those sort of special episodes where it's out of the norm and stuff like that. But I appreciate it even more now than I did as a kid. I just laughed at the jokes as a kid, whereas now I appreciate all the other stuff that's sort of gone into it, yeah. So yeah, I think it's a ruddy solid episode. Oof. So
oh
there
my
we go.
Lord.
Very rare that I give something a higher score than you.
Dead right, my friend.
So yes.
And can I ask you, Andy?
You can.
What have we got coming up next week?
We have episode 16, Homer Loves Flanders. Am I right?
Yes.
All right.
I am looking forward to that.
You and me both, Terry.
Before we get out of here, shall we get our plugs in?
Please.
Where can they find us online, Andy?
Yeah, they can find us on Twitter, Terry. You can find us on Twitter at PutItInHPod.
You're the Twitter guy. Come on.
Hold on. You can find us at... it's just loading. The iPhone's a bit slow when initially loading apps, but... Terry... You can find us on Put It In H Podcast on Twitter.
At
Put It In H Podcast on Twitter. Can you find us anywhere else,
Terry? Find us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
It's Put It In H Podcast. Put It In H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. Yeah, it's catching. It? You can also email us at putitinhpod@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all those ones.
Everywhere.
If you're on iTunes and you're listening to us and you like what you hear, why don't you throw us a review?
Yeah.
And if you throw us a review, we'll do a little mini review, yeah, for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We review them.
What would you like us to review?
We reviewed Monster Munch last weekend. Because yes, the reviews really, really do help. It's like...
We cracked the charts once, people, and I want to crack it again. Yeah. I don't know how or why we cracked the first time, but we were in there, and I have a feeling it was due to a particularly strong week of listens, and we got about, I don't know how many, but we got a fair few reviews
likes,
that week.
Subscribes.
Yeah, so they really do help. It would make our week, our month.
Our millennia.
Yes, if we cracked those charts again. So, yes, please do that. And Terry, let me ask you something. That would obviously be a great support for people to do that for us. Now, if they were looking for a different way to support us, is there avenues there?
You can support us by physically donate.
Another one.
You can donate to us as PutItInHPod.
PayPal.me.
Yes, sorry. PayPal.me/PutItInHPod.
Not put it in H now. Put it in H pod.
Yes.
Yes.
Because we've had a couple of people donate and they've been very generous and very. It really does help defray the cost of our hosting and everything else. Like, so.
Yeah, we're looking to develop a website which obviously has hosting costs and things like that. And, you know, so.
Pay
up. Whether it's as low as 50 to 100,000, or you want to go all the way to the top tier, 2 to 5 million, you know, it's absolutely fine. It's completely up to you.
We'll also be starting our Patreon series of our Earthworm Jim reviews.
We never discussed this time.
What? I thought we were doing this spin-off series of Dan Castellaneta voices. It was a lot.
Yeah, I forgot that was him. But yes, so that would be great. And if nothing else,
that's the letter, Earthworm Jim.
Do you remember the name?
Psycho.
I was actually thinking of someone else.
You're thinking of Professor Monkey for a
head. No, what's the Queen's name? Do you remember?
Queen Slug for a Butt.
Yeah, do you remember the full name?
I can't remember. It's like, have you got it?
Yeah.
Hit me.
Evil Queen, festering, pulsating, festering, sweaty, malformed. There's one missing Slug for a Butt.
Yeah.
Still. Not bad for watching 20 years. Thank you for listening, as always, and we'll see you next time.
Boom.